music guest. Oh, some music at this. Amazing. Matt Stokes and Stephanie Harris. It's going to be a hula hoop, Lady Blade, belly. Oh, so much stuff at Cafe 9 on Sunday. This starts at 8 p.m. I know the other one, that acoustic, is a much earlier event, but goes on throughout the evening. And there's some other things to tell you about coming up. But let's get into Songs from the Coffee House. Mike Arafe runs Coffee House Studios up in Middletown. Dave, would you do me a favor and hit play on that top CD player? Okay. So, as I said, Mike Arafe has been running Coffee House Studios in Middletown for about 25 years. And he'll be coming by WPKN once a month to record Songs from the Coffee House. And this month he brought about, I think, 9 tracks that we discuss, that he discusses. And just let it go and you can hear for yourself. This is Songs from the Coffee House, a new series here on Connecticut Rocks. Here we go. All right. Now here on Connecticut Rocks, we're going to try something that's a brand new to you listeners out there. This is going to be a feature we're going to start this month and have it on the show each and every month for who knows how long. See how long Mike can dig into his archives. We're going to have this Songs from the Coffee House. It's going to be a monthly series and bringing you some great tracks each month. Will be the man behind Coffee House Studios in Middletown, Connecticut, Mike Arafe.
Thanks for having me on the show, Bob.
Yeah, well, it's great to have you here, Mike, and I'm looking forward to hearing some new artists that I'm not familiar with and also some great archive tracks from artists I am familiar with and turn on our audience here at Connecticut Rocks and also listeners through WPKN to some great recordings of great Connecticut artists from the past, present, and even, I'm sure, for some people, the future.
Well, I appreciate the opportunity, and I'm going to dig deep in my archives for you, Bob. But, you know, I could play you tracks till the cows come home, pretty much.
Well, I guess maybe we should say the cows are going to come home in 2050. How about that?
That sounds good. I'm fine with that.
Okay. So, on this edition of Connecticut Rocks, Mike has brought in, I believe, 9 tracks, and we're going to get right into it. Mike, you want to start talking about the... Well, actually, why don't you give me give us an overview of the artists that you brought along this time for Songs from the Coffee House.
All right. I was thinking about what would be good for the first show, and I guess for any of these shows, I'd like to bring something that's fairly current to come out of my studio, as well as something that maybe I'd really dig deep into the archives. I've had the studio on Main Street in Middletown since 1990, and in fact even had a multi-track studio in my folks' basement a couple years prior to that, and a studio in their attic that was a little 4-track home studio that goes back as far as 1982. So 1982 to 88, I just had a little 4-track studio in their attic. And then from 88 to 90, it was in the basement. And then from 1990 to present, I had it down in downtown Middletown on Main Street. And so I've amassed really, you know, a pretty big archives. I've kept all the recordings throughout all that time. So and so I was thinking for an artist from the past, or there's an artist that I worked with. His name is Shannon Mulready. And he's from West Hartford, although now he lives in New York City and records down there. So I brought a couple of recordings from him. And I first got to work with Shannon. Actually, it started as a suggestion for his sister to come to my studio from the Savage Brothers. They said, you know, we worked with Mike, and why don't you try out his studio? And so Shannon's sister, Bray, came down and recorded 2 albums with me, and Shannon was the main musician on her records, and he played everything. You know, he played drums, bass, guitar, keyboards, vocals. So it was through his sister Bray that I got to know Shannon, and then I recorded over the years, four albums with Shannon, and I brought in two cuts from him today, one from an album he did in 2001 called The Unusual Temple, which his sister Bray is singing on his track. And the first song we're going to hear is a song called Destroy Your Setlist from the album Saws and Sledgehammers, which he put out in 2006. Destroy Your Setlist, Bob. I thought that would be a good first song.
Yeah, that's a perfect song, actually. Maybe we could play a piece of that at the end of the show, too, because then we can crumple some paper and, you know, make
truly
sound
destroy.
Effects.
That's right. Burn a microphone or something. But Shannon's a very interesting guy. You know, he played every instrument on that track, starting with playing 4 minutes of drums to nothing but the song in his head.
Yeah, it seems very interesting to me. You know, there's not many artists you're going to hear about that actually compose or, you know, express their thoughts on a drum kit. it seems very strange. A lot of people are comfortable with strumming an acoustic guitar and creating songs that way.
Right. And as a guitarist, as an electric guitarist, he's one of my favorites. I mean, he reminds me of all people. He reminds me of Steve Winwood and Steve Winwood's guitar playing, which he's not as much known for, but just very clever, very inventive, and free on the guitar. I have an interesting story about Shannon and this song. You know, he's down in New York City, and he actually sent out some of his recordings to some different record label concerns and producers, and he sent this song along with a couple others to legendary rock producer Eddie Kramer, and he's at work one afternoon in a law office that he works in, and it's a phone call from Eddie Kramer, who called him up and wanted to talk with him and told him he really enjoyed his material and even asked about who produced it and recorded it, which makes me feel good. But had a nice, like, half-hour conversation with Shannon on the strength of Shannon's material, which I think speaks well of him. So this other song goes that I brought from Shannon goes back a few years earlier to 2001 from an album he had called The Unusual Temple. And again, I think he plays all the instruments on this track, except his sister Bray sings the lead vocals on this one. This is a mellower song.
At what point, how old is Shannon at the point of this recording? This is 10 years ago this came out, right?
Oh, boy. I think he must have been at the time in 2006. He must have been 30. I'd say, you know, I'm 47, and he seems to be about 6-8 years younger than me. So you do the math.
So, well, so this next track we're going to play, Realm of Possibilities, that's one of his earliest recordings, I would think.
Yeah, I think that is the first album that I did with Shannon. That's correct.
And that's early in his career.
I think him and his sister are just music kids. You know, they've been doing it all their lives, you know. But of course, you know, I had done two records with his sister prior to even doing this one. So, and I had worked with Shannon back before this record. But this goes to 2001.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's another one from Shannon Moe Reddy right here on Songs from the Coffee House, a monthly feature on Connecticut Rocks on WPKN. Mike Arafe, you got another track to come up?
Okay, well, the hits keep on coming, Bob. This next song I brought you is from a group that's actually on my little record label, my imprint, which is just a secondary little sideline I run out of the studio for some productions that I put together. I mean, I'm always working with artists in a production capacity, no matter what group comes in, but these particular recordings, you know, we have a kind of a deeper combined ownership of and you know, purpose with them. And this this group on Coffee House Records is Two Virgins, and the album came out late 2009, and it's self-titled. And this first cut is called Go Home, and it features the lovely Nancy Broussard Parent from New London's The River Gods on pedal steel guitar and backing vocals. And when I first heard the song, and you know, we went through, it was a really fun chore with my songwriting friends, the Two Virgins, which are Tom Mooney and Tom Rann, who I've known forever. And we went through about, well, as songwriters, as a songwriting duo, they have a catalog of about 400 songs, which is pretty amazing. That's it. And they've been playing forever in different bands, going way back to as young guys playing in CBGBs on the scene during those days, the heyday, et cetera, et cetera. So,
yes. And then they never recorded their material? Or?
Well, they've been on all sorts of projects out of their home studios, and they would record all of their practices. They got boxes and boxes of cassette tapes. But, you know, formally, well, I first worked with them on my little four-track that I brought up to their practice room in Enfield in their house in the basement in 1984, and who recommended me to go up there was Tutti Huerta from Stark Raving.
Okay.
So yeah,
that's a name from the past. Actually, I met Tutti a long time ago, Royal Stark.
And Royal Stark, that's right. Yeah. So they were friends with these guys somehow, and that's how I first got to work with them and know them, and we've just been friends ever since, you know. But anyways, so let's see. So yeah, we got Nancy Broussard Parent from the River Gods to come in on this cut because we had been listening to all sorts of songs from them, and we chose this to go on the album that had 16 songs. And I was like, you know, it'd be really great to have Nancy do some pedal steel. And then she also did a lot of really great background vocals on this one. So the song is called Go Home.
Thank you.
There we go. That was Go Home by Two Virgins.
Yeah, it's a great track. I remember being up in your studio, Mike. You gave me a copy of that. I played some tracks from Two Virgins on Connecticut Rocks. But it's a bonus to hear all the background about these tracks.
Oh, I could tell you stories, Bob.
So we got another track from Two Virgins right now, too.
Yeah,
right?
Here's something that's a little bit more rock and a little bit more upbeat. We were kind of thinking T-Rex as a groove for this one. And this one features coffee house artist Bumpy Chimes on the electric guitars. And the song here, it's a biblical tale, this one, and it's called Down in the Flood. There we go, Down in the Flood. God Bought a Guitar. And so that was another cut there from Two Virgins from their debut record on my label Coffee House Records.
Yeah, well, can you tell me how many artists roughly have you released on Coffee House Records?
Well, first thing I would say is think very carefully before you start a record label.
Okay.
It can be wonderful, you know. You can have some wonderful artists to work with and all that side of it, which is wonderful. But it's very difficult, really, you know, for the people out there who've worked with an independent label or put out their own independent label where they had a number of groups on it. It's a tremendous amount of work and maybe a thankless job. You know, when things are going right, of course it has to do with the artist, and when things are going wrong, it has to do with the label. So be very careful.
Sure. So another time we'll talk about, we'll have you go on, Mike, maybe about 10 things you should do and 10 things you shouldn't do when you have an independent label.
Okay, yeah, all let's right? do that. Let's
do that sometime. That. Because I know there's guys out there, Danny Goodwin with what's called now February Records.
Sure.
Carlos with his Safety Meeting
Records. Oh, yeah, sure.
Those guys, you know, and then there's amazing, there's an amazing amount of labels in Connecticut.
Sure, that, Thin Man Records, Thin Man Music.
Yeah, there you go, Sling Slang. I mean, it just goes, and they all have their different vibes, different unique features to them. I mean, Dan Goodwin's gone in the direction of actually releasing a lot of music for free, so.
Yeah, well, that's the general trend is you can't really sell anything anymore. But there are wonderful opportunities, and especially through things like Facebook now, you can prop things up and get them out there and immediately broadcast them in a very targeted way, which is wonderful.
Well, next up here on Songs from the Coffee House, you have a unique live recording, right?
Yeah, I cut my teeth on college radio. At WESU, Wesleyan University's radio station up in Middletown, and this is where I first met Tutti Huerta, who was also a DJ at the station at the time. But I did a live radio concert series where we would bring rock bands into the newsroom at WESU. We'd clear out the big conference table. I'd load in all these mics and stands and a mixer and speakers and effects units, and I would mix these bands live, and they'd perform live, and it would go out the over the air live. And over 3 school years, I did 56 live concerts.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah, and we had great groups on the show. We had O Positive from Boston and Salem 66, and we had Miracle Legion and the Reducers and New Johnny Five, and we had Alice Donut from New York City and Deep Six, and just all these really great. We had Neurosis from the West Coast and Screeching Weasel, just amazing groups, and it was an incredible experience for me because I really learned a lot and also really fell in love with college radio through my experience there. And you know, I told you that I'd worked with the Two Virgins back in 1984. I had recorded 4 songs in their basement using my 4-track up at their house. And then a couple years later, in 86 or maybe 87, actually early 87, I invited them as one of the earlier bands onto the Living Edge Show, which was the name of the show at WESU. And I thought it would be nice to connect the dots. And, you know, I'm working with them right now. Here we are all these years later, 24 years later. From that show, still working together. And anyways, this is a song that became a bit of a hit on WESU. They put it on a cart, and it got into rotation quite a bit. It's a little song about Sid Vicious. It's called Who Killed Sid? We'll be right back. Wow, that's a good question, Bob. Who did kill Sid?
I'm sure you'll reveal that at the end of the show.
Okay, you got it. So, well, you know, I brought one more song from the Two Versions record that's out now, and it's a song called New Blues Revival, and it features a guest artist on this song also, who's another coffee house artist from the past, blues man Ben Ross, who lives in New Haven, and I did a lot of work with Ben. Anyways, he's on this cut, he's guesting on Barrel House piano and also some blues harmonica. And this is New Blues Revival. There you go, Bob. That was a revival called New Blues Revival.
You're listening to WPKN 89.5 FM in Bridgeport, Connecticut, and streaming online around the world at WPKN.org.
And that's it for the Two Virgin songs that I brought you this time.
Oh, gee. Well, I'll just play some more Two Versions on the show when we're not doing songs from the coffee house.
Oh, well, they'd love it, you know. They'd send you home-cooked meals, whatever.
Oh, what, like ice packs or something they're going
to
send?
Yeah, they'd bring them down. They'd drive them down to you.
Well, that's it. A personal invite, then. Guys from the Two Versions, let's have a 3 a.m. buffet here at WDKN while we're doing Connecticut Rocks.
Okay. I do love going up to their house, which is the same house that I had recorded them in the basement back in 1984. And Tom and his wife and Tom Mooney, the other guy in the band, and they're always around. And Jim Rann on the bass, he lives right next door. So it's a real family thing. And I just, it's always fun going up and hanging out with them.
Cool. So next up, you have a couple tracks from an artist that I play often here on Connecticut Rocks. In fact, I actually played a track from this EP on last week's show, I recall. But here's a couple of tracks from Frank Rotelli. You want to talk about this?
Yeah, Frank, pretty amazing guy and becoming a fast friend. We did an EP together late last year called the FCB EP, and I guess FCB stands for Frank Critelli Band.
Yes, yes.
And it was great. I mean, essentially, it's a fairly live record. I mean, there certainly are a few overdubs here and there, but the heart of it is the whole band in the studio, and Frank's in the vocal booth looking through the glass, singing the lead vocals live and playing his acoustic guitar live, and with drums and bass. And we had there's some keyboard overdubs on there from a keyboardist who, a friend of his, that had also been in Ringo Starr's All-Star Band. So it was nice to have that, you know, two degrees to the Beatles thing going on in the studio. That was nice. He was a fantastic player. And anyways, I brought you two songs. The first song from the EP... Oh, one more thing about Frank is we just demoed a whole album's worth of material for another album that we're going to do together over this coming year. And I'm very excited because the demo sessions went well. I've been soaking in and listening to the songs from the demo session, just him on an acoustic guitar and vocal.
That's great to hear. Frank's got more material in the...
Oh, he's constantly writing. And that's what I love about people like him and the Two Virgins and Shannon and Ben Ross and you know, even the River Gods. These people, they're great writers. They're constantly driven and writing material, something that I strive to do but find very hard as a musician and a writer. And it just flows like water out of Frank. So he came to me with another 10 songs that are just killer. And I'm looking forward to working with him this year.
Okay. So now we're going to hear from the FCB EP, Frank Critelli Band.
Yeah, this one. This is a song called The Questions Recurring, and it also features coffeehouse artist Bumpy Chimes again, this time doing some keyboards, some Moog, harmonium, glass harmonica, and even a piccolo on this cut. So here we go, The Questions Recurring.
Questions we could. I have no answers to questions we could.
I think actually Frank might have a few answers.
Yeah, I think, and he'd give you a lengthy response to your question too. So
yeah, he probably would. Well, you know, he's a, I think he's an English or English lit teacher at the high school level in Meriden.
Well, that fits. That fits. He has that mature look with his beard.
Yes. Yeah.
So
until you get a couple beers in him, then yes, that's a different story.
Yeah. Okay, so we have another track from Frank Grittelli Band.
Yeah, this other track, well, you know, one thing about Frank that I really like is that he's really connected on the rock scene. And his drummer in the band, Rich Suarez, was at one point in a band that I just adored from when I did my internship at Trod Nozzle Studios back in the mid-'80s. And the band was the Scratch Band, mm-hmm. that featured G.E. Smith, you know, from Saturday Night Live.
Right.
And also the Beehive Queen.
Christine Ullman, yes.
Yeah, you know. So, you know, I took home a copy of this Scratch Band album, and I really wanted to hear one of Doc Cavalier's productions. And Doc Cavalier was the legendary record producer and owner of Trod Nozzle Studios. And the guy who actually gave me my first break in the business after I got out of audio school. He gave me an internship there, and I stayed there a year. And so anyways, I just love that Scratch Band record and the sound of it. And Rich wasn't the drummer on that record, but he had been a member of the Scratch Band. But one of the main singers on that record and harmonica players, it was the most wild harmonica sound on that record, I just loved it, was this guy named Bob Orsi, who now I guess is in the Manchurians.
Yeah.
So anyway,
Roger C. Real, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah, you know, and I remember seeing Roger C. Real's records when I was hanging around Trod Nozzle, and that's back in 84. So anyways, you know, it just connected the dots from the past to the present when Frank brought in Bob Orsi for harmonica on this upcoming song. Kind of a bluesy rocker, this one. This song is called, anyways, it's called Messiah.
We'll be right back.
All right, and Bob Orsi is rocking on the harmonica there. And again, that's the Frank Critelli Band on Thin Man Records.
Yeah, Rob DeRosa's label.
Oh, yeah, that Rob.
Yeah, Rob DeRosa, the man behind not only booking the bands for the Daffodil Festival, but that great show that's been going on for I don't know how long, Homegrown on the Wesleyan Station, WESU.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I listened to it.
Yeah. Well, he's actually Homegrown's probably a partial impetus for me to do this show, Connecticut Rocks. And I'm sure we were talking about it a little earlier about Paul Bazanker's book.
Oh, yes,
which is also titled, well, actually originally he has the coin the phrase Connecticut Rocks, but I don't think that's the most copyrighted deal if there is a name called Connecticut Rocks. So that's why we have a show called Connecticut Rocks.
When it rocks, it rocks. Yeah. I mean, it's undeniable.
Okay, well, this is Songs from the Coffee House. Michael Arafe, the man behind Coffee House Studios in Middletown, Connecticut, starting a series here on Connecticut Rocks at WPKN that you'll be hearing each month for the foreseeable future, digging into some great tracks from his personal archives. So, Mike, we have another track here, one more, I guess, for this show.
Well, I got to tell you, Bob, it's a real pleasure to dust off these tracks and bring them in, and it'll be nice over the upcoming months. I'm really going to dig deep and find some things that haven't seen the light of day from some great Connecticut bands. I mean, it's great being it's just amazing having been a studio owner and producer, and the collaborations with all these different artists and groups over the years. The wonderful things that can happen and what you get to see and witness from these writers and artists. This final cut is one that is really close to home for me because this guy, well, and this isn't as much a rocker as this is a blues man. And anyways, Nate Simmons was our resident folk blues man in Middletown, Connecticut, our resident blues man. And he taught me and my friends how to play guitar. He would give us lessons all the time, so we knew Nate as kids. We'd looked up to Nate, and he would perform all around town and in New Haven and throughout New England. When I started my record label, I was working with Ben Ross, who was a blues artist, and I was working with Nate, who's a blues artist, the Butterflies of Love, who were a rock band. That came a little bit later. And the Michael Cleary Band, who I know you've played on your show.
Oh, sure, yeah.
And Mike has a straight-ahead rock band, you know, and Mike's another great writer. Mm. Nate is really special to me. He had a stroke a number of years ago. Mm. And it kind of put him out of commission for being a touring and performing musician. And in fact, the first couple of years, it was really tough to see because it was kind of vegetable-like. And over the years, he's really come back, he can't perform. His arm's atrophied and all that. But he's, you know, whenever I see him, we can have great conversations. He's still 100% there. So although his body doesn't cooperate with him 100%, and he actually lives right around the corner from my apartment in a nursing home, and I'll go over and hang out with him, and we'll shoot the breeze. And this past fall, I was thinking about his situation of him being stuck up in his room at the nursing home, and people maybe not coming over and visiting him as much as they should, kind of out of sight, out of mind, you know, really. Mm. And I thought, boy, it would be really great to have a Nate Simmons Appreciation Day.
Yeah, that sounds great. How did that go? You mentioned a number of musicians came out for that.
Oh, it was really, really a magic day. It was wonderful. You know, we held it in the afternoon so Nate could wheel down there in his electric wheelchair, which he did. His daughter, Jessie, came up from New York City. And all these musicians, regional musicians who worked with him in the past, including the amazing Joe Flood, who originally was from Portland, and Michael Cleary showed up, and Ben Ross showed up, and Bill Shaka from the Cajun funk group Swamp Shaka. He showed up. He had been living in New Orleans, but had been up in Connecticut the past couple of years. And all these people came out of the woodwork, and it was just a musically amazing day. They all just whipped out performances in front of Nate and all of us like nothing. It just great performances. And so it was a special day, and I was glad to help put on that event. And what I did to other than putting on the event and making the poster and all that and getting everybody there is I also went into my archives and just dusted off all the recordings I had done with Nate, most of which were live recordings in all these different venues around the area, the Monty Green Inn, Clay Cola World Coffee Coffee Shop, It's Only Natural Restaurant that used to be in the north end a block from me. All these were places that we had done these kind of guerrilla multi-track recording setups where I was trying to capture a certain vibe, and we did, but those records I never released. In fact, I never released any of Nate's records officially, but there were only two songs that we did that were multi-track in the coffee house that I could call a real studio production. And I just thought that that this one song that we brought today, called 93 Flood Blues, which is about the 1993 Mississippi floods that Nate wrote, would be a really good kind of final track for you guys. And so anyways, this song is we recorded back in 2006, and it's called 93 Flood Blues from Nate Simmons. Thank you.
absolutely amazing. That's Nate Simmons, right?
Nate Simmons, and he performed that live in the studio. The microphone was actually right near the drum kit, and there are no overdubs on that one.
Well, it's been a great hour here. Songs from the Coffee House right here on Connecticut Rocks. And Mike Arafe, it's been a pleasure to have you here, and I'm so looking forward to doing this every month. You got some teaser you can give us for what you're bringing us next month?
Well, I think maybe this next month I'll unearth a few tracks from the band Jamie Strange, and maybe also from the ska band Ska King Crab.
All right, so enjoy Songs from the Coffee House here on Connecticut Rocks, and stick around for more music from Connecticut independent original artists. Keep on rocking. Yeah, that's going back a ways. That's Little Village That track, Funky Jubilee, written by Mark Malucci, along with the guys John Frizzell, Bernie Balka, and Mark Kuchar on that track. Next up here on Connecticut Rocks is a Norwalk outfit called the Colt Six, and this is called Arm's Length.
Yeah.